Prior to investing, please read the investment's prospectus carefully. The prospectus contains information about the investment, including the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Orders for the purchase or sale of securities or other investment products cannot be accepted by email. The information contained in this communication is not tax, accounting, or regulatory advice. Please consult your advisor as to any tax, accounting, or legal statements made herein. Subject to applicable law, all electronic communications are monitored, reviewed, and electronically archived and may be subject to review and or disclosure to third parties in certain circumstances. The views and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of SCF Securities, Inc. or any SCF-related entity. Women face many financial decisions throughout their lives. You may be getting married or divorced, changing careers, or getting ready to retire. There are also plans that need to be made for family and loss of a spouse or other loved ones. Welcome to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Your host is Darlene Gilmore. In our show, we'll give you some proven advice designed to assist you with these financial decisions. Now, here is Darlene.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back. We here in Texas have a really rainy day, but we're glad to be here on this program. Today, we're going to be talking about common mistakes made in purchasing insurance. I've got a lot of feedback that there's a great interest in this. And we've got a host with us is Melissa Fleming, and she's the CEO of Fleming Conway Allstate Agency, a risk management firm that she co-founded in July 2010. And her firm specializes in property and casualty insurance for both residential and commercial clients. So, Melissa, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Melissa, I know as well that you are a certified financial planner. I was curious to wonder, how did you decide this is the direction you wanted to go in terms of working with the risk management area rather than the traditional financial planning area?
You know, it's kind of funny. I joke about how when I was young and thought about what I wanted to be when I grew up, I never said an insurance agent. But you never know where life leads you. And, you know, before insurance, I was actually in banking for over 14 years and helped clients. I was as their first point of contact and really helped them with their deposit accounts and their lending. But I started to get my CFP and really looking at all aspects of their financial plan and seeing what they need help with. And it was a lot of fun. We would bring in attorneys. We would bring in CPAs. We'd bring in insurance advisors, investment advisors, and just kind of went through merger after merger and decided that I wanted to be on my own and kind of control my own future. And my business partner, Kelly Conway, she and I had worked together in banking and both wanted to make the move at the same time. And insurance was always a component of financial planning. We just brought in the insurance agent. But we thought it was a way that we could still continue to work with our clients to help advise them and really provide the service and the education that they need. And it was something I can control.
Yeah.
I can control whether clients know about the coverage and help educate them versus if I was going into more of asset management, I can't necessarily control the market as much. So it was just a better fit for my personality. Uh-huh. And I have really, really, really enjoyed it and haven't looked back once.
That's great. I know as a financial planner, even working with clients, the insurance side, they don't want to look at it a lot of times. And you almost have to twist their arms a little bit to help them understand that they've got to protect what they have built up. What do you enjoy most about your job?
You know, I think it's exactly what you just said. It's like people, when they see insurance, it's something they have to have. They know they have to pay for it because their lender's going to make them on their home or they're required to by the state. But it's not fun to pay for something that you may or may not use. So, you know, like in our office, what we'll do is create a spreadsheet that really breaks down the types of coverages and amounts. And that's really the fun part of my job. I always say the best part of my job is really talking to clients because I get to know them. I get to know their situation. I'm very analytical. And so I like to understand what's going on in the moving parts and then really help explain to them this is what may or may not happen. And it's always their choice. It's their insurance. But I want them to be able to make an educated decision. So I feel like I'm helping them. So it makes my job fun and what I enjoy most.
I know one of the terms that I'm sure you hate to hear is that I'm insurance poor. I don't know how that got started or in what era that got started, but too many people use that term to talk about they feel they're spending too much money on insurance. And maybe they are. So if they meet with you, they can sit down and analyze it and go through and figure out where should they be putting their money when it comes to their risk management.
And that's
so I congratulate
right,
you.
It's a balance, right? So, I mean, you could spend money all day long on insurance, but you might not want to. And so it's really kind of looking at what are the risks specific to you, and that's where we should put money towards and not necessarily everything. And I'll tell you, I mean, when I went through the insurance courses to get my CFP, there were so many different types of insurance. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need like 20 policies. I can never afford that. And then once I start looking at my situation, it's like, okay, maybe I need to protect these couple of areas. So it can definitely be overwhelming, and you don't want to overpay. And that's what hopefully you're working with an insurance agent who's able to help sort through some of that and really show you where your real risks are so you're only paying for what you need.
That's right. And I wanted to congratulate you, too, because obviously you're doing well with your customer service. Melissa's firm was ranked number one in customer service as a designated premier service agency. So congratulations on that as well.
Thank you. We truly believe it's not just about earning someone's business, but keeping it. So when they call, we better answer and we better be there
great.
To help them.
That's good. So our topic is the common mistakes made in purchasing insurance. What do you think are the most common mistakes, for example, when buying car insurance?
I think, you know, I'll have people call all the time and they say, I just want the state minimums, what the state requires. And so for those of you who don't know, the minimum state limits are $30,000 a person. If there's multiple people in the car, it's $60,000 per incident. So what that means is if you're driving a car and you cause an accident, you're going to fix their car, and then if they sue you for pain and suffering, they're saying they're hurt, they're never again the same, they want to be compensated for it. And so $30,000 does not go very far. Usually when you have those $30,000 injury limits, the property damage is $25,000. And if you look out on the streets, there's a lot of cars that are more than $25,000. So when I start talking to clients, how I kind of look at the liability component of an insurance on a car is that you want to have more insurance than you do assets. So if they hire an attorney and that attorney is now coming after you, to collect for damages, you want them seeing that insurance policy. If there's not much insurance and the person really is hurt, then they're going to be coming after your assets. So, you know, just increasing the limits from the state minimum to the next level, which is $50,000 a person, $100,000 for multiple people, and $50,000 property damage, practically doubling your coverage, it's typically only like $5 more every 6 months. So you're talking about $1 a month. As soon as I start talking to clients about it's only $1 more a month, you know, 99% of the time, they're going to go ahead and increase the coverage. On an auto policy, the risk is the person and the cars they're driving. So increasing those limits doesn't cost a whole lot. We start looking at higher limits when there's more assets. So, you know, if you're sued, your house is protected from creditors. They can't take your house as long as you filed homestead, which hopefully you have, and then they can't go after any of your retirement assets. So through work, if you have 401ks, if you've been saving outside of work, or maybe, you know, transitioned jobs and moved your 401k into IRAs, individual retirement accounts, all of that is protected. But they can go after your cash, your savings, your investments in the market that aren't retirement. And so we start looking at, you know, if you have more than $50,000 in assets, we should bump that up to $100,000 limits, $300,000 combined. And if you have more than that, then the next limit is $250,000, $500,000 combined. And you know, a lot of times with clients, what I'll do is I'll show them the difference in the cost by increasing those limits. So again, they can kind of balance what's their concern versus how much does it cost. But it's very important to have those conversations, because I think a lot of times insurance agents will just take the orders from the clients instead of having those conversations. But I've seen it a lot of times happen where, you know, a car hits a car who hits another car, where now you've got three cars involved. You're at those minimum state limits. It's not going to last very long.
So a lot of us thought, for example, that all they would go after is just what your insurance paid. So you're saying that in many cases that they'll go after your other assets after there's no more insurance.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've experienced it. I had a client, it was the opposite, where they were hit by somebody. And so, I mean, I know for a fact his attorney was getting the asset statements of the other driver and then wanted to get the insurance declaration pages to prove how much insurance they had. So if those limits are low and you've got assets, that attorney will be looking for you.
And in our area in particular, is the uninsured motorist insurance really important considering we have a lot of people coming across the border?
Yeah, you know, so uninsured motorist, what that is, and it's also underinsured motorist, so that's going to be if somebody hits you and they don't have insurance, so that's uninsured motorist. So most common is you come out in your parking lot and your car's been hit and nobody's around. Honestly, I see that happen as many as accidents. It's pretty sad, you know, but people will hit you and take off. So in that situation, no matter what carrier you're with, you're going to have a lower deductible of $250, so that's good. And then the accident doesn't count against you, and you get your car fixed. Where I've seen it happen is, you know, sometimes clients will call, and they'll say, I just want liability. I have an old car, maybe, you know, cash flow's tight. They don't have a lot of excess monthly income, and so they don't get collision on their car. They don't get comprehensive, no coverage on their car, just to take care of the other person. And then they end up getting hit, and now all of a sudden, you know, they don't have any coverage for their car, and they're having to go buy a new car. Last year, I had separate clients, that were driving down 35. You know, that's a huge highway. It goes from Canada to Mexico. And they were hit, and the person just kept driving. And, you know, one person had uninsured motorists, and two of them didn't. And it was a completely different situation. You know, if money is tight to be able to afford the uninsured motorist, it's probably tight to go buy a new car or to try and get your car fixed. And usually, at least with Allstate, I mean, I'm not sure how other companies price uninsured motorists, but with us, I mean, just get the minimum limits if versus nothing, and then that way it usually costs about $10 a month. So, you know, you won't necessarily notice $10, but you're going to notice if you have to buy another car. You know, the underinsured motorist is also a component of it. And when that comes into play, if somebody hits you and maybe they only have those liability limits of, you know, the $30,000, $50,000, $25,000 property damage, and that's not enough to fix your car, I mean, then you're filing claim on your policy to make up the difference. So it's protecting you a couple of different ways, and, you know, in case you come out in the parking lot and no one's around, but then also if they don't have the right enough insurance to take care of you, it's a backup. But I do think that that is just as important. If somebody's talking to me about liability only, I'm going to really try to convince them to either have uninsured motorist or collision. If you don't have uninsured motorist but you have collision, you can still get your car fixed. You're just going to be subject to whatever deductible you have for collision. And then it is going to count against you because you filed a claim under your collision. So it counts against you. But I'd rather them get it fixed under collision than not at all. So we have a lot of conversations about that.
That is really interesting because I never realized that the uninsured motorist was, for example, for those hit and runs and for when you don't know who has damaged your car. So I just learned something really important right now.
Well, and I just want to mention one other thing that I see happen on car insurance as well as a mistake is rental car coverage. So, and you know, it's everyone's choice and where they want to spend their money, but I'll tell you, so you can pay to have rental car coverage if you cause an accident to put you in a rental car while your car is getting fixed. And typically it's up to 30 days. If it's going to take longer than 30 days to fix your car, most likely it's getting totaled. So the 30 days isn't usually a problem, and that's going to be standard with any carrier that you're going with. But, you know, if you cause an accident and you don't have rental car coverage, I mean, you're looking at $30, $35 a day while this car is getting fixed. And what we've been seeing recently is that a lot of body shops aren't keeping a lot of inventory. I mean, they're cutting back their costs and they're ordering as they go. So ordering parts might take a week in itself just to get it. And then you've got to get your car fixed. And, you know, if you're in, it's a rainy day today in Austin, I mean, we're probably going to have more accidents than we normally would, which means the body shops are going to have more cars, which means it'll take longer for them to get to your car. And so if you don't have that rental car coverage, it's a much more painful experience than if you've had that coverage. And typically, it costs about $5 a month to have the rental car coverage. So, you know, if you've got two cars and one driver or three cars and you can share, that's one thing. I just always caution people to really analyze how important it is to save that money versus have that coverage.
I have a question for you, but it's time for us to go to break. So we'll take a break and pay the bills with our commercials, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
Are you an entrepreneur that wants to achieve more? Not just in it for profit, but to do work you find meaningful that adds more value to more people in more ways? Listen for Be More, Achieve More, Inspiration for the Entrepreneurial Mind. With host Chris Cooper, you'll hear from successful achievers from around the world with the passion and experience to offer invaluable guidance. These people are making a difference and will help give you the motivation and insight to achieve more. Be More, Achieve More can be heard live Fridays at 8 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take your coffee break with Game Changers on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time for our special series on the future of business. Learn how you can become the transformational leader who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough wave of innovation. The Future of Business with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back. I would like to really encourage you to call in if you have questions for Melissa. She'd be glad to answer them. And I had a follow-up question for you, Melissa, regarding the deductible that we were talking about and for the rental insurance. Most times when I rent a car and they want you to sell you that rental insurance, what you're saying, I think, is we can have it on our policy and therefore we don't have to purchase that rental insurance. Is that correct?
Yes, and that is different than the rental car coverage that you pay for on your policy, because that's designed to put you in a rental car while your car's being fixed. When you go, you know, as long as you're in the U.S., I think Puerto Rico is another place, if you're driving a car and you rent one, they're going to say, you know, do you want to buy our insurance? So you don't have to, because of how Texas auto policies are written, because every state's different, but because you have a Texas auto insurance policy, we will cover the rental car if you cause an accident and anybody it hits through your liability. So that also goes back to you might not want to have the state minimum $30,000 because then that's all that's going to be used to fix the rental car and whatever you damage. So you do want to make sure you have enough the bodily injury, property damage, liability limits, but that's what it's going to fall under. So if you cause an accident in a rental car, there's not going to be any deductible. Your insurance company, at least with Allstate, is going to be paying for it. And then it does count as an accident against you. The advantage to purchasing it through the rental car company is that it doesn't count as an accident against you because they're just taking care of it. Personally, I'm not going to pay for that extra insurance. I'm just going to take my chances and get it through my policy. I will tell people, you know, if you're renting a U-Haul, that's a vehicle that you're not necessarily used to driving. I had a client who literally was backing out of the parking lot and hit a pole in the U-Haul. So if it's something like really big, then you might want to consider purchasing their insurance. But you know, you're just traveling and renting another car. You're used to driving a car. You're probably, you know, fine not choosing their insurance and just having it handled through yours should you cause an accident.
Well, one other thing, you just brought another question up, is obviously insurance is different by states. Now, this radio program is national, actually. I think it's even international. So others need to look at what the laws are in their particular state regarding those various insurances.
Yeah, it's how the policies are written in their state. And so you would definitely want to ask your insurance in your state. And I know, for example, that California is different because a lot of people from Texas travel to California and they'll call me while they're sitting there and they'll say, well, they say it's not covered because how California policies are written, it doesn't cover rental car, at least for all states. So you definitely, if you're in another state, ask your insurance agent how it would be handled before you go rent a car.
Okay. So let's move on to a different type of protection. I know personal injury protection is something that a lot of people have that typically own their own businesses or professionals, but I don't know if a lot of individuals, the average Joe, so to speak, has that personal injury protection. Is that something that everyone should consider?
Absolutely. In the state of Texas, you have to sign something if you're choosing not to have it. So what personal injury protection covers is if you are hurt in a car accident, it's going to cover any medical bills, and it's also going to cover lost wages. And for people who are retired, they are not necessarily having the loss of income, so they sometimes choose to just have medical payments coverage instead. And then it's only covering the medical payments. And so you're going to choose the limit based on the carrier that you're with that's available to cover that. In Texas, the reason like we have people sign if they don't want the personal injury protection, because if you are hurt in a car accident and you hire an attorney, they're going to want to see that coverage and that you're using it. So you get in a car accident, I mean, you're most likely just going to give them your health insurance card. But the health insurance company might want reimbursement. You know, if you're taking time off of work, you're going to want to be compensated, reimbursed for that time. And so that all falls under the personal injury protection. But it is good coverage. I just look at it for medical coverage only if they're retired because the loss of income isn't going to be applicable.
Okay. I think what I actually was thinking of was an umbrella policy. So I got the two confused. So an umbrella policy, that professional liability policy, what is that?
I am a huge, huge advocate of umbrellas. So take your home, for example. Somebody gets hurt, you have liability coverage on the homeowner's policy if they get hurt there. You look at your car. Your car, if you cause an accident and somebody's hurt, you've got your bodily injury on the car. What the umbrella does is it goes over everything. It's going to go over your home, your auto, if you have rental property, all of that's going to fall underneath your umbrella. So if somebody gets hurt, it first goes through the initial policy, the home, the auto, the landlord, and then the umbrella, typically it's at least $1 million on top of it for their pain and suffering. And so, you know, there'll be limits that you have to get on your home and auto, and then the umbrella kicks in. And the other thing that an umbrella offers that the other standard policies don't, is called personal injury. So think of it as something verbal. You say something that inflicts pain and you're getting sued over it. So it would be slander, libel. Where I see it come into play with rental property is going to be a wrongful eviction. So you have a tenant and you evict them and they're saying you weren't allowed to and sue you for it. It's going to fall into that. Wrongful arrest. So you have somebody arrested from your property and they sue you. So they're not physically hurt, but you have caused them a personal damage. And then those limits, it depends on your carrier, the limits that you can have for the personal injury. But it all falls together, and it's one policy going over everything.
How expensive are the umbrellas?
It depends on how many cars they have, you know, how many homes they have, how many rental property. For the average person who has one home and two cars, and it's a $1 million umbrella, you're looking, you know, under $200. It's probably going to be $180, $160. And the things that affect the umbrella policy are also going to be tickets and accidents, because if you're having tickets and accidents, you're more likely to have a claim on your umbrella, so that can increase the price as well. But they're not near as expensive as you would think. How I view an umbrella is that they're a cheap attorney. Because if you get sued, you know, your insurance company is going to be providing the attorney to represent you and defend you. I've personally been sued. It was not a fun experience. The legal fees easily were $18,000. A $200 umbrella policy is much cheaper than having to pay that attorney.
And that $200 is annual, right?
Annual, yes. And what I really
recommending
an umbrella if they've got dogs, because, you know, dogs can bite somebody no matter how nice they are, or, you know, you got small little dogs and somebody trips over them and breaks their arm, right? So if you've got dogs, if you have a pool, I mean, kids can get hurt. If you have a trampoline, if you have rental property, because the rental property are not, at least in Texas, they're not protected from lawsuits. So somebody gets hurt, they're going to go after your rental property. So you want to make sure, again, that you've got more insurance than you do assets. When you have rental property, that's when I see more issues arise, because you've got tenants in your house, and who knows what they're doing. And if they do something, you're going to get wrapped up into the lawsuit. I actually had a situation where a client had a friend, the client's tenant's son went to the friend's house. So the son was at the friend's house, and the friend got hurt. Well, the friend tries to sue the tenants and her. It's not her house. It's not her kid. But she gets wrapped up into it. So, you know, we immediately respond and say, you know, this doesn't apply, you know. But we're going to represent her. She's not having to hire an attorney to go dispute this lawsuit now. We're going to take care of it. So you just kind of see odd things happen with rental property that it's good to have that extra protection.
So that was an interesting story. So someone who's renting a property and not owning the property can have the renter's insurance, obviously, but they also should have the umbrella policy?
Well, the landlord is having the umbrella policy, so that way if they get wrapped up into something due to the tenants, they're going to have representation. The tenant is still on their own.
Okay. So with the tenant, with the renter's insurance, how much coverage does that involve? Does that cover some of these things that we're talking about, dog bites and those kind of things?
Yeah, and I love renter's policies. They're very, very inexpensive, at least with Allstate in Texas. I mean, a renter's policy could be $100. Now, that would be with lower contents, but there's a couple aspects to renter's policy. So for somebody who's renting an apartment or they're renting a home, you're going to have your stuff, your contents, because if the house that you're renting from pipes burst and flood the house, you know, the landlord policy takes care of the house, but the renter doesn't have any coverage.
So can I get you to hold that thought? We need to go to break real quick, and then we can pick up when you get back.
Okay, great.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
Do you know how to tell a great story? In business, the stories you tell play a big role in your success. Whether you're trying to get more clients or influence people as a leader, storytelling will help you do it. Story Powered with Leanne Pico is here to help you activate your storytelling superpower to build a better business and achieve your goals and dreams. Story Powered can be heard live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Conversations concerning money can be a bit daunting. There can be limitations with building wealth, and in general, people don't want to discuss their money. Until now. Listen each week for Conversations with Money, featuring Franco Caligiuri and Marissa Cipollinski. Our guests make money the conversation piece, how to build and maintain wealth, working with charities, and money and family members. Listen every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back. We have with us Melissa Fleming of Conway Fleming and Conway Allstate Agency. And Melissa, when we went to break, you were talking about the importance of renter's insurance. So if you want to pick up there.
Yeah. So the renter's is going to cover the content is the first part of it. And, you know, a lot of times I'll have people say, you know, my stuff isn't worth anything, or it's for their kids who are renting an apartment while at school. Oh, they don't have anything. And that's not really what it's worth. It's what is it going to cost for you to go replace this stuff? Especially like if you're living in an apartment, you can't control what your neighbors do. So if they start a fire in their apartment, it's quickly going to spread to yours. I actually experienced that while in college at UT. Four of my friends were in an apartment that was all wood, and it was on campus, and I think someone was smoking outside and dropped their cigarette, and I mean, it's wood. The fire trucks, I think they had 10 out there. They couldn't stop the fire. Two of my friends had renter's policy, and two of them didn't, and it was completely different because now they have money to go spend to buy things and start replacing it. And the other cool thing about a renter's policy, at least with Allstate, is that 10% of your contents coverage in your apartment also covers outside. So let's take, for example, somebody breaks into your car. Your car policy covers the damage to your car under comprehensive. It's not an accident. It's other than an accident, so it's comprehensive. But it doesn't cover the stuff that's stolen out of your car. That actually falls under your renters or your homeowners. So especially like kids, you know, students, and they're driving to campus, and maybe they leave the laptops in their car, or maybe they're riding a bike. I had a couple of claims on bikes stolen on campus. That falls under your renters. And the reason that landlords care about renter's policy is because the second component of a renter's policy is liability. And so, again, that's the bodily injury that we were talking about. Somebody gets hurt and you're sued over it. But it also covers, at least with Allstate, smoke, fire, and explosion. So if the tenant damages your home that you're renting to them due to those three things, fire, smoke, or explosion, it will be covered under their policy through liability. I can tell you firsthand in Austin, majority of apartment complexes are going to requiring that their tenants have it. I had 3 smoke claims this past year. One of them, for example, she travels a lot, and she actually doesn't even cook. She had boxes on top of her stove, and somehow the burner got kicked on. And so it didn't burn down the place, but it was smoke damage throughout the house. And so our renter's policy covered to fix her the house that she was renting. And so it has some really great features, and they're inexpensive. I mean, you know, renter's policies can go anywhere from $15,000 in contents up to $300,000 in contents. So that amount of contents coverage is going to dictate the cost of the policy. But, you know, it's better to have minimal coverage for contents than no coverage at all. And you know, I'll tell people, you know, get one. I've seen it happen, and you don't want to not have it.
Now, I live in a condominium, and our base policy that we pay for through the association covers a base replacement at basic levels at $50,000, for example. So they tell us that if we have upgraded our units or done something else to our units, that we need to buy the additional protection for that upgrade. Is that common?
Yes. So typically with condos, it's called a walls out policy, where they're going to, the condo burns down. I mean, all these units are connected. So they will build the structure back up, the foundation, the framing, up to the sheetrock. And then once you get to the sheetrock in, you have to have a walls in condo policy. So it sounds like your policy might even allow for a little bit more of coverage inside. But
yes, it'll cover basic cabinets and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so when you're looking at, you would still have a condo policy. You just wouldn't necessarily need as much as somebody else. So on a condo policy, the components you're looking at is your stuff, your contents, and how much you think, you know, it would cost to replace your stuff. And then you're going to have building protection. And the building protection component's going to be the carpet, the paint, you know, anything structurally interior that needs to be replaced. And so with our policies, there's a lot more weight on the personal property than their stuff than there is the building. So we just talk to clients, you know, what's the square footage of your house, kind of what's the going rate for renovations, let's use that amount for your building. And then we'll talk about the personal property. But those are the 2 main components. And then, of course, you have the liability for bodily injury as well. But those policies are typically half the cost of a homeowner's, because you're not having the structure to insure, because there's an outside policy, a walls out policy with the association.
Okay, good. What are the homeowner rate trends been over the past few years?
I can definitely speak for Texas. We have been seeing rates increase across the board for carriers. You know, Texas has a lot of wind and hailstorms, and so a lot of roofs have to get replaced. You know, I think people always think that insurance companies make money off the homes because the premiums are high. But in reality, they don't, because the homes, when there's a claim, it's an expensive. I mean, to replace a roof is probably $10,000, $15,000. So they're big chunks that the insurance companies are having to pay out. So when they're seeing a lot of storms come up, they have to increase the cost across the board. And it's based on, you know, construction costs as well. We've been seeing the cost of shingles even rise. So what'll usually happen when your homeowner policy is renewing annually, a lot of times you'll see your dwelling coverage, which covers the home itself, increase, because the company's doing their research and has the feedback that, you know, it's going to cost more to replace your house now that the cost of construction's up versus what it was a year ago. So you'll kind of see that change, and then you may or may not have a rate increase. And I mean, there have been rate increases anywhere from 10% to 40%. It just depends on the carrier. With Allstate, we this past year was a minimal rate increase, but the couple of years before it was higher. So we're definitely better positioned and have increased our rates as they've happened. So we're not really forecasting those big rate increases. And I think it's getting better under control, but I think we're ranked number 3 among all the states, for wind and hail claims. So it's just going to cause the rates to go up. And, you know, clients will call and they'll say, I haven't done anything. Why is my rate going up? And, you know, part of it is, have you individually had a claim and you're losing a claim-free discount? Or is it more what's going on with the industry and rates in general? And we'll talk to clients about it and be honest and upfront and see if there's any discounts that we can add that they're not getting that maybe will help offset it.
What? How do they decide the replacement costs? Are they using, for example, a just standard inflation rate, or do they look at appraisals in the area? How do they come up with what that replacement cost should be?
So every company is different. I do know some companies just automatically increase it every year because they figure inflation. Before I was with Allstate, I was with another carrier. I mean, one time I saw my replacement cost go up like 20%, and I'm saying, there's no way this happened. So I just called my agent, and we walked through it and got it back in line. So if you're seeing big jumps, I mean, if you're seeing it go up a couple thousand, you know, 2,000 to 5,000 replacement costs, okay, that's reasonable. But if you're seeing bigger jumps than that, you really want to call your agent and find out. With Allstate, we do it a little different. We actually look at construction costs down to the zip code. So, and then we assess it quarterly, but then it impacts the policy annually. And first 2 years that I had my agency, I actually saw replacement costs going down. So I would call my client and say, hey, replacement cost is going down, but we don't have to reduce dwelling coverage. Let's talk about this if you want to make a change or not. The past 2 years, I have definitely been seeing them go up. But it's not a percentage. It's more based on what's happening in their area of town. We do not use appraisals. And there is a lot of confusion with this, especially when people are buying a home. Appraisals are, what is somebody willing to pay for the house? Insurance companies look at it, what does it cost to rebuild? So those are two different things. And to give you an example, like in Austin, we have Terrytown. Well, these are old homes that maybe cost a couple hundred thousand to rebuild because they're little. but because of their location, maybe they're paying $1 million for this home. And it's all about the location and the land value. So you don't want to go and purchase insurance for $1 million because we're not insuring land and you're paying more for insurance. So that's when we start looking at what's the replacement cost versus what you're paying versus what is the lender requiring. Because, you know, the lender might want you to have more insurance. And so with our agency, we're very proactive of saying, this is how we came up with the replacement cost. Like, there's a $400,000 discrepancy. And they'll go back to their underwriter and take that into account. If your replacement cost is pretty close to your loan amount, then I'm going to have you go ahead and insure it for your loan amount. And because, let's say, worst case scenario, your house burns down, your loan gets paid off with your homeowner's insurance. So now you can sell your lot or you can go get a construction loan and start rebuilding, but you don't have to rebuild because it's just been paid off. So that's where, you know, it kind of becomes a little bit of art, and we look at different scenarios and how much is it really costing you to have the full loan amount versus not.
What about the replacement cost of the contents? Excuse me,
so,
the contents.
I would say majority of homeowners are going to have replacement costs. You definitely want to ask because there are policies that are actual cash value. And so, you know, let's say your kitchen catches on fire, or let's do a different example. Let's say your house floods, like the washing machine backs up and floods your house. So all of a sudden you've got water all on the bottom floor. So it's not a total loss of your house. You can clearly see what has been damaged and what needs to be replaced. If it's an actual cash value on your personal property, they're going to start taking into account, well, that shirt, how old is it? And they're going to discount the amount that they give you to go buy a new shirt. That is not a fun situation to be in. So you want to make sure you've got replacement costs for your personal property, because what they're going to do typically is they'll say, you've got some money up front, go shopping. Once you buy the stuff, give us the receipts, and we'll reimburse you for the rest. So that's more the situation you want to be in instead of having to get that depreciated value for your stuff.
And, of course, you want to cover unique things like diamonds or antique jewelries. We want to take special care, and those are noted in your policies, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, jewelry and fine art, you can schedule them. So it's the value that you stipulate, and it's not subject to a deductible on your home. Most commonly, I would say, is jewelry, like somebody's wedding ring, or maybe they've inherited some jewelry. They've got diamond earrings or a watch. You really want to look at the pieces of jewelry that are more expensive, that you wear a lot, that can fall off. I had a client who was shopping in the grocery store, and she looks down, and her solitaire is missing from the ring. It just fell out of the setting. And so we're actually friends, and she put on Facebook that, oh, no, I just lost my ring. That hurts. And me being her agent, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I made her schedule that. And I got back in the office. That was on a Sunday, and Monday she was the first client I looked at, and then called her, and I was like, we have it scheduled. So, you know, you just provide your appraisal or your bill of sale. If you with Allstate, if you had it insured with another carrier, and we've got the declaration page stipulating the amount and description, that's good enough as well. But you do have to have something to validate the value. And in our agency, we always ask for that up front because we don't want any concerns if you ever have a claim. But, you know, fine art, it's just looked at as, you know, paper with paint on it, right? So
right.
You definitely want to schedule those pieces so that way you get the full value if they're stolen or damaged.
Okay, great. We'll take another break right now. We'll be right back. Thanks, Melissa.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking with Melissa Fleming, a CEO of Fleming & Conway Allstate Insurance, and we have had some great answers to these questions. I've learned so much, Melissa, from your talk today.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, if you work outside of your home, do you need to list it on your homeowner's policy?
Well, I think what I see a lot of is people who work in their home. If they work outside of the home, it's going to be covered through the business policy wherever they're working. But people sometimes forget that, you know, if they've got a home office, And let's say something happens to your house and you're filing a claim, and it's uncovered that you're working out of your home, whatever is business related is not covered under your homeowner's policy. That's all personal stuff. And it's going to be an innocent conversation where the adjuster's just getting to know you and talking about what you do, and then it's uncovered and they'll say, oh, well, that computer's not covered and that couch isn't covered. That desk isn't covered. And you know, in our office, my business partner, Kelly Conway, she specializes in commercial insurance. She actually has her CIC designation, which is Certified Insurance Counselor. And she had to take 5 courses, and 3 of them are on commercial to really understand it. But so she can write those type of policies. And, you know, typically maybe they're $300, $350 a year, and it's going to cover the stuff in the house that's business-related. And, you know, especially like if people, maybe they have it where their clients are coming to their house. So their clients are coming to their house to pick up purses or, you know, to pick up maybe it's printing materials. If they slip and fall and get hurt and you're sued, if you don't have that business owner's policy, then it's not covered under your home either. So they're very inexpensive policies, but you definitely need to have them when you're working from the home in case you get sued or if your stuff is damaged that's work-related.
The umbrella policy wouldn't cover it?
No, not if they're there for business purposes. That's why you've got to have a business policy if it's having anything to do with the business. If it's just a friend at your house, then that falls under the umbrella. But if it's a client coming to pick up whatever you were delivering to them and then they slip and fall, that falls under your business liability, not personal.
Okay. Well, I know, and I work outside of the home and I have my office, and the management here requires me to have a liability policy as well.
Yes. And so that's usually the same type of policy. It's called a business owner's policy, where it's going to cover wherever they're renting, or it's going to cover if they own the little condo unit, like we have one for our office. And so then it's going to cover whatever we might damage if somebody gets hurt and sues us. So it really, you should think of it, if you're working out of the home, that it's just like having an office. It's just out of your home versus another location. So you need to have that same type of policy as you do, Darlene.
Okay. And what about flood insurance? And it always just seems crazy, especially where we are, and they call it what, that 1,000-year or 100-year floodplain or something, where it's not likely that you'll have a flood, and then, of course, it happens, and you don't have flood insurance. So what happens?
So homeowners policies don't cover rising water. That's all through federal government, through FEMA. So FEMA is the one who takes on that risk, and they're the ones that sets the rates. And so your insurance agent who's helping with your home and your autos, they can get you the policy and be the agent of record, but it's technically they're going through FEMA to get it. So it doesn't matter who you're working with, it's going to be the same pricing. What we've been seeing happen with FEMA is that they have been subsidizing the rates. So they have been picking up some of the costs for this flood insurance and not passing it on to the homeowners, and they're not able to do it as much anymore. So you can go to their websites and see where what they're doing is they're raising rates about 20% right now. If you're not in a flood zone, you can have a flood insurance policy. So I tell people, if you are near a creek or you notice when it rains, water kind of rises, let's get you one. And if you're not in a flood zone, great, because those policies are much cheaper. You know, the maximum limits they'll offer is $250,000 for your dwelling, $100,000 content. If you're not in a flood zone, it's costing you $414 a year. And you can choose less coverage. So you can lower the premium by choosing lower coverage. Where it gets more complicated is if you are in a flood zone. So your lender is going to require that you have it. And so FEMA has been rezoning. So they've been determining, you know, changing the flood zone lines. And then there's, you know, a standard flood zone, and then there's a high-risk flood zone. But if you're in a flood zone, you're going to have to get a flood elevation certificate. What that elevation certificate tells you or tells us is how is the house sitting on the land. If it, you know, just because you're in a flood zone, you can have a better rating if you're sitting up higher, and that's what it's looking at. So once, if you're in a flood zone, we have to have that to even be able to quote it, and we cannot issue the policy without it. It used to be different where you could get it afterwards. So things have changed. If we know that someone's in a flood zone, we tell them, order that elevation certificate right away. if you are purchasing a house from somebody who is in a flood zone, you need to ask the seller, do you have a flood insurance policy? Because if they do, you can assume their policy, like take it over. Because what's happening right now is that they're still subsidizing the rates on the flood insurance policies, but it's going to keep going up over time. If you buy a house that's in a flood zone and you don't get the buyer's policy, then you're at that new rates from day one. If you can get the buyer's policy assigned to you, then you start at the lower rates until you get back up to the real rate. So it buys you a couple of years, in essence, of what it is, what it's doing, but it's worth saving that money while you can. Okay. But they're definitely complicated. You want to talk to your realtor about it. You want to talk to your insurance agent about it and understand what the cost. Because if you're in a flood zone, I mean, I've seen them as high as $5,000 a year versus $400 a year.
Wow. Well, this is the last question for us today. Do insurance companies care about our pets, our dogs and our cats? Is there something that's covered under our homeowner's insurance for that? We've got about a minute left.
Absolutely. So you definitely want to tell your insurance carrier that you have a dog. If they are higher risk dogs, I know they get bad raps, but pit bulls, for example, a lot of carriers will not insure homes if there's a pit bull. If you don't tell them, you might have coverage on your home, but if your dog bites somebody, they can, I mean, they will deny it. It's not going to be covered. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself at risk of not having coverage for anything because you weren't upfront about the dogs. With Allstate, our old policies, we didn't allow pit bulls. We would allow, like, one German Shepherd. Now we'll allow all of them as long as they don't have a bite history. But if you own a dog, no matter what type of dog, just say, I have dogs, this is what they are, and let them tell you how it impacts it. We don't increase the cost for having a dog. We just need to notate it, and then that way they're covered if something happens. So it's definitely important to talk to your insurance agent about, and then have an umbrella.
Okay, great. So what about the reverse? Is there any way to cover them if a car hits my dog or anything like that?
It's not standard on a policy. With Allstate, we actually just started offering pet insurance. So there are some carriers coming out where they're going to offer insurance on the dog, whether it's their yearly checkups or if it's something that happens to them. There is insurance for them now. That is newer. Allstate does offer it. It's not common, and it's definitely not covered on a standard homeowner's policy.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Melissa, so much for being on the radio with us, where we're helping women gain financial empowerment. This certainly has been very educational. Next week, we will have Janice Green. She's an attorney that works with late life divorce situations. So if you find yourself in that situation, you may want to listen in. And this has been a great day. Thank you again, Melissa, and I hope you have a great day as well.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All righty. Talk to everyone later.
Thank you for listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Be sure to join Darlene Gilmore again next Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a super week.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.